the majority party in the General Assembly thought that just raising taxes to fund those services, they could do it. They haven't even moved a finger to go do that. They're very comfortable not having a budget and allowing those services to go away. To me, that's an outrage.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
713, Sheriff Tom Darts just about had it. How about you? I'm going to pick up the phone and talk to Tom Dart here. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm all right. Thanks for coming on. You know, I remember back in the 60 Minutes profile on what you were trying to get done and what you were trying to tell people about in 2013. Can you believe that we're coming up on 2.5 years ago and it's actually worse?
I know. To be honest with you, I wasn't expecting it was going to be the clearing call to change everything, but I did think that there's been this momentum of at least people understanding the depth of the problem of dumping the mentally ill into jails and prisons. And yet I look around, and not just here, but we're the worst, but around the rest of the country, too. It's still, we're so far off of doing, just frankly, Steve, nothing dramatic, but just doing literally the right thing, you know, treating sick people as if they're sick and not as criminals. And we still have so far to go, and these recent cuts, boy, not helpful, I'll tell you. You know, it's one of those things where I'm not looking for, you know, any special favors from anybody in this thing, but I would just ask for a little bit of help in some of these problems that are dumped at our doorstep every day. That, yes, I knew it, I signed up for the job, I love my job, but boy, oh boy, let's try not to make it any trickier than it already is.
Well, tell me specifically what no budget on a state level does to the Cook County Sheriff's Department.
You know, the biggest part, to be honest with you, is, Steve, is the tangential part that it is the easier one to mask. Namely, if you just cut programs, you dial them back, you eliminate them altogether on the street. So social service programs for mental health treatment, for drug treatment, if you either cut those or dial those back, the natural reaction is I will get most of the different groups of people that were relying on those in one form or another cycling into the jails. The numbers all show that there's no great, you know, higher math involved here. And so is it easier to mask it then? Because it's not as if you literally shut the program down, put everyone on a bus and drove them over to the jail. No. But when I talk to the detainees all the time, when we study all the numbers and the data, it shows that when that event occurs, when those programs aren't out there anymore, people will self-medicate, people will look for places to sleep because they don't have any shelter, they'll look for things to eat because they have no counselor working with them on any of these levels. Their families can't handle it anymore because the families were burnt out because of all the different issues they had with
sure.
people going off meds and the like. And so they need help. And when they don't have it, police are called to the door. We know the horrific things that are called when occurred when police are called to the doors of someone who's in a psychotic state. And then they're eventually loaded up and taken over to a jail. And I ask people, is that responsible? Is it thoughtful? Is that what our society's about? And I would hope people would say, you know, no.
Well, no, exactly right. And I think that's the point I want everyone to hear is that this no-budget situation and the lack of supportive programs or dealing with mental health, literally, instead of helping people, you're making future inmates. That's it.
Oh, Steve, there is no mystery. This isn't one of those ones where you have to make five leaps here to get to the final conclusion. This is absolutely, it's supported by everything. No one with a functioning brain disagrees with it. And it is happening. We see it right now. Steve, I have three divisions of the jail that are shuttered, that don't have anybody in it. Those are the general population jails. What's the one part of the jail that is 120% capacity every day? The mental health unit.
120%. 120%.
Yeah.
Sheriff Tom Dart on the phone, Cook County Sheriff's Department. And Andrea, jump in and say hello.
Hi, Sheriff. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you. You know, at the time of that 60 Minutes interview, almost 3 years ago, come this fall, you said that there were 2,500 inmates who were dealing with mental illness. I'm just curious, has that number increased, stayed the same, and have you been provided with any sort of relief, counselors, treatment, anything of that sort, since that interview?
The kicker there is our numbers have been relatively stable, but only because our overall population is going down. So that means that actually percentage-wise it's gone up. But here's the thing, and this is the truth, and I'm not proud of this at all, is that because of the thoughtful plan we put together where we treat them like people with an illness and we help them with reconnecting with their families, we have a van that goes out to their house to help when there's crisis. Because of all these things we do, we've become one of the best providers around. So we have countless detainees that tell us, I'm happy to be back here. It's where I get the best treatment. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is not how I envisioned
this. This is not the way it's supposed to work.
No, Steve. And that's where it's like I feel like, you know, I'm almost contributing to the problem because we've set up such a thoughtful process for people with mental illness that other folks don't have to bother with it and that the providers want to do it. God knows they want to do it. But when they were on shaky grounds before this budget disaster, Steve, and now they're beyond a lifeline. There's people that are cutting back on everything, shutting programs down. And I understand there's this big philosophical war going on down in Springfield. But these are groups of people that are folks that government was set up to help. It was, you know, we can all argue what government's for was not for. These are groups of people that government said, you know, this is the group of people, you know, people in the child welfare system, people with disabilities. We're supposed to help them. And boy, oh boy, you know what? I was down in Springfield for, you know, 11 painful years back in the 90s, and I had Republican governors the entire time I was down there, Democrats in the legislature. We didn't all love each other, but boy, we got, you know, budgets done, and, you know, there was...
This is an embarrassment. This is an absolute embarrassment. The bare minimum job requirement ought to be get the budget done. That should be the absolute minimum. And the fact that it's not done and it continues to linger, and now we're seeing direct, tangible evidence of people that are being hurt every day, and we keep repeating the same thing, but it's the most vulnerable people in the state who are being hurt the most by the fact that people in Springfield can't figure it out. And Tom, I'm sure you're like me and most people. You want to have a long-term academic discussion about what politics is about or about where we go with the state of Illinois. You know, go set up a seminar at the U of C or Northwestern and have a great weekend. The state's on fire.
Yeah.
Put the frickin' fire out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Steve. And that's where it's been so, you know, the problem has been, frankly, there hasn't been that great crisis because, you know, the workers are being paid, the governmental agencies are open.
Right.
And so the public doesn't see what's going on out there. I unfortunately see it on a regular basis. And honest to goodness, these providers that you come across, these aren't folks that zip around on their yachts, you know, in the summertime.
Right.
These are people that they are passionate folks who barely get by themselves on a good year, who do this because of their love for doing good things for people. And our way of paying them back is we stretch them so thin that they are on that God knows what line of credit to just try to keep the doors open. And you're like, come on, folks. I mean, I know these aren't the folks you interact with every single day of your life, but a lot of us see this around us. And this is, as you said, Steve, you nailed it. This is the baseline part government's supposed to do. Then we can have our little debate societies and do the rest of the nonsense we do to, you know, to piss everyone off. But let's get this part of it done.
Before I let you go, the governor's reaction to your tweets was a pretty sharp reflex, and he threw you in with Madigan that you have some sort of alliance. You want to address that?
You know, the speaker and I have a cordial relationship now, but anybody who was ever down Springfield when I was on it would tell you that he and I, we spend most of our time disagreeing and not getting along, and, you know, I have respect for him. I know he has his hands full. I couldn't imagine how he's dealing with all this right now, but there was never anybody confused us with bosom buddies. As I said, you know, when I decided not to run again for the legislature down there, I think he was rather, you know, happy that I was no longer down there. So, you know, I wildly respect what he does, but, you know, this isn't like he and I talk. The last time I think I talked with the speaker was probably about 6 months ago, you know, so...
Yeah, and I think, and again, look, my goal is universal panic. I want everybody in the state to be upset about this because it's time for everybody to be upset. And there's plenty of blame to go around, but the more time we spend around pointing fingers at each other going, that's not my fault, it's his fault, the less anything's going to get done. And at the bare minimum, along with doing the budget, I'd like the speaker to show up to a meeting where he can have the discussion. And if it's not getting solved, then work the media the way the governor does because silence is getting us nowhere.
No, it doesn't help because this is one of the things where the public needs to be absolutely informed of where people's positions are, what they've offered, what they've agreed to do, what the compromises have been out there, because otherwise people just assume the worst, that you're just digging your heels in and doing nothing. And I know that has not been going on, but, you know, when there's this big void, people will fill it in.
Let me just check with Kevin before I let Sheriff Tom Dart go. Is Speaker Madigan going to be on today, Kev? What are we hearing? Oh, I see. Once again. Oh, no. Apparently, once again, we're not hearing anything. What about the Queen of England? Is she going to be on the show sooner, Kev? Have we spoken with Buckingham Palace?
Probably sooner, actually. Yes. Yeah.
That's we'll right. work on that. That's right, Tom. It's easier to get the Queen than it is the Speaker to talk about this. I appreciate you being on at Tom Dart. And again, unless I'm missing the point, Sheriff, your outrage is for the state, not against either party.
No, I really don't. It's just please get a budget done for us. Please help us.
All right, man. I appreciate your time. That's Sheriff Tom Dart at Tom Dart on social media.